intro.
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 Intro. Intro. All right, it's intro. You know what it is. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source of everything crypto, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, you've come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave here with Capital K. We're here to help you harness the power of the flywheel. And this time, what do you always say? Capital P. We have on a capital P primitive. Go all into token-bound accounts. ERC-6551 on this episode. We have the author of it on, Benny. And then we have on a use case, which is agent. And what are token-bound accounts? What is the standard? You know, we get all into it on this show. Just think, I call it a Russian doll. You call it a backpack. It's basically, imagine if your NFT could be an account. Imagine if, like, the same way you use your, like, EOA, you can use, like, your M'lady, and you can, like, do shit with your M'lady. All that stuff. So we get into it, the ramifications, the use cases. I think this is one of the episodes we're going to look back on and be like, oh, wow, like, this was so obvious, because I think it is so obvious. I'm going to, like, just put my name on it. Like, this will become a thing in the future. And I'm excited to see what happens from here. Kit, what do you think?
Capital P primitive.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's your trademark. And if you want to keep up with all the capital P primitives we have on the show, make sure you go ahead, give us a follow, give us a like, give us a, you know, retweet on Twitter, do all that stuff. Make sure you go on our YouTube, hit that bell button, subscribe, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. Give us a like on there. Follow us on all our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram. At Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at @ZOX_K.
And let's get the flywheel spinning. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here with Capital K as always. And this time around, I'm really excited because we're going all into a standard. This is all about ERC-6551. We have Benny, who actually was one of the authors of the standard, and Jimmy and Greg, who are using the standard. And to preface the show, I'll never forget, I was at ETH Waterloo last year. I'm not sure if you were there, but were you at that booth? I'd probably talk to you if you were at that booth.
Yeah, we were at ETH Waterloo. We didn't have a booth. We kind of had our own table that we set up with, like, cardboard sign and all.
Yeah, I have a yeah. That's what I mean. I, like, was just walking around and I just saw, like, you know, ask me about ERC-6551. So I saw this cardboard sign and I'll have people put a picture of it here, and I'm like, oh, what's this? And you explained it to me, and it just made so much sense. It's basically like a reverse soulbound NFT instead of, like, having an NFT that is just permanently attached to your account. It's the opposite. It's literally the opposite. It's like the account is attached to the NFC in any way, like, you use or like how you use your normal address, EOA, whatnot. It's the same exact thing. And I was like, oh my God, like, why isn't this everywhere? And so then we had, you know, our friend Ethereum reach out to me. He was like, hey, do you want to have the ERC-6551 guys? And I just remember, it's like, yeah, of course. Like, I would love to hear about the progress of this since then. So guys, it's really exciting to have you on. Like, this is something I'm genuinely interested in, and, like, I want more people to know about.
It's good to be on.
Likewise, Dave. Really excited to be here and with everyone else here, Jimmy, Greg, and Kit. Yeah.
So Benny, let's get into, like, what's your background and how'd you get building in crypto and how'd you come up with the standard?
Yeah, I mean, rewinding back time, in 2017, I had the chance to work on a tiny project, CryptoKitties,
on CryptoKitties.
Yeah, so I was part of the team that launched that.
Take me back down memory lane.
Yeah, so that was the ERC-721 and NFTs. And then the Kitties did well, and then we formed, I was actually part of Axiom Zen, then we formed Dapper Labs. And I worked on Cheese Wizards, Dapper Wallet, and then eventually I was leading one of the main product teams for NBA Top Shot. So it's been a fun, 6+ years of NFTs, from back to the Kitties, to basketball, to the new wave of blue chips. And then, so that's kind of how, like, 6551 came in, because I've just been obsessed by NFTs for so long. That, like, and know so many folks, including OpenSea guys and the wallets and the blue chips and just thinking deeply about like, where do NFTs go from here? You know, we entered a phase in 2020, 2021, which was the new boom or the last boom. And it was all about like forming communities and Discord and token gating and like actual events where people met each other. And then that wave kind of reached its peak. And then now about a year and a half ago, we were at ETH Denver and we kind of had that epiphany of like, ERC-4337 was booming, accounts abstraction, this whole idea of like accounts are going to become a big thing. So that was moving along. And then you look at NFTs and it's like, well, not much is happening. I mean, people are still launching 10K PFPs. And yes, you can claim a hoodie or go to a boat party or something. Is there a world where socks are quite useful? Right? So that's kind of how it all came together.
I've noticed this trend of memes growing to have utility and growing up and maturing. You see this with meme coins themselves. You have multiple meme coins like Shiba launching a fully homomorphic encryption chain. Harry Potter launching their own blockchain, quote unquote, that's going to have all this cool shit on it. And it's like the meme can only take you so far. The idea can only take you so far until it kind of like runs out or it's like Doge and it becomes like it either has to like keep growing or it has to like grow in utility. And usually like it will go the utility route. And so the same thing with NFTs. NFTs are just unique memes. And it makes complete sense. Like, okay, like what's the next stage at NFTs? It's this. And, you know, token gating, socks, all this like extra stuff outside of the NFT can only take you so far. And like, you know, there's always a way to like just get around it, of course. But like with this, it's on chain. There's no way to get around it. So it has actual use. And so, and also I didn't realize like you had such a track record. Like we have like an NFT OG here. So, you know, it's great to have you on.
True NFT OG. But, you know, Greg, I'd love to hear from your background.
Yeah, definitely. So started out in traditional finance doing mergers and acquisitions, restructuring, joined the Block Research back in 2021 on the research and operations side. So did everything there from writing content to helping out with go-to-market and strategy. And then most recently was head of corp dev there and engineered a sale to Foresight Ventures last November. And Jimmy and I went to university together and I reconnected with him at Singapore Token 2049 last September. Reached out to him after the transaction and started, you know, talking about this idea. In March, I came out to Taiwan for the first time. You know, we started cooking and then ultimately decided to move out here 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, we're in it.
And Jimmy, what about you?
Yeah. Also, my audio, it's kind of freezing every once in a while. So I don't know if it's going to be
you're good.
Clean, but
we'll edit in post-production.
Sounds good. I got my start in crypto initially working at this company called Syndicate, which is like trying to do on-chain cap tables, and then ended up kind of getting more into like the degen side. So I was like caught the tail end of DeFi summer, you know, was flipping NFTs. I was like the largest minter of like Irene DAO and just like a bunch of other random
the largest minter,
that
so you're the biggest thing.
Congrats. Biggest and suit. Then nice. Yeah, I guess
oh, no,
I guess no sorry, I don't know. Am I still here? Or?
Yeah. We're on the biggest simp for
okay,
Irene.
Yeah, so
please continue.
Yeah, you're the biggest simp.
And then ended up joining this DAO called Information Token with like Zach XBT, Gabagool, like that whole crowd.
Gabagool, rip to a reputation.
Yeah. And we ended up, co-founding Velodrom. So I was like the founding CTO for that, wrote all the code. And that was sort of one of the projects that kind of came out of the bear. It was also one of the first, real like DeFi project that kind of made use of NFTs, right? Like they had the whole VNFT thing, right? The transferable lock tokens. And kind of towards the end of 2022, moved out to Asia I was like, you know, kind of consulting some exchanges out here. And around that time kind of saw, the 6551 standard come out, thought it was like sort of the real like dependency for, on-chain portfolio margin, which is sort of this thing that I think everyone's kind of always wanted to, yes. to sort of build towards. And, earlier this year decided to kind of take the leap and, reach out to Greg and start working on this.
Yeah. So let's get into 6551. Like how does it work? Like step by step, like how can people use it? Benny, I'll take it away.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's still very new. I mean, it's about 1 and a bit years old, and it really reminds me of like 2018, you know, period of like 2017 was ERC 721, but by 2018 it was like still like in flux, you know, not people were kind of interested, like the Axie guys, like Jiho, I know very well, and some folks were like early believers in it, but you know, we were traveling around to Asia and Europe, and people would still look at us like, what are these guys talking about? In that grand scheme of things, it really took like ERC 721 or NFTs for about 3-4 years before it started to hit like critical mass. We're still very early. And you know, the idea of token mount accounts came from just like the kitties, like it came from a desire to build one of the projects. We were working on Sapiens with Jeff Staple, who was a well-known streetwear designer, and the Sapiens project, we had the idea of a PFP project where you can equip clothing. And we, at that time, we were looking at Artifact and Doodles and a few others, and they were exploring on-chain equipping of clothing, but a lot of it required you to pay gas every time. And so at the height of it, it was like $100 to inject a vial into a sneaker. And I was like, that's pretty crazy. I mean, imagine in real life that every morning when you put on clothes, you gotta pay $100. It's like, which is insane. So that's kind of like spurred us off into this brainstorm of like, well, what's important here, right? Like, and not only that, updating the metadata takes time, the state of it. So people kind of get scammed and all of that. So that's when it dawned on us of like, what if a NFT has its own account and then it can own digital clothing or other NFTs, and that's on chain, it's verifiable. And then equipping it, you can decide whether it's on chain renderer or off chain. In Sapien's case, it was off chain. So you just equip the hat or the shirt and then immediately renders the artwork. The other piece of the puzzle was OpenSea and a few marketplaces supported iframes or AKA animation URL. So you can actually embed a whole website. And so every Sapiens is actually a mini website there. When you equip the clothing, immediately reflects within seconds. And we just built 6551 just for that. But later on, like when we met Dave by the time at ETH Waterloo, other folks started to, I'm sure Jimmy and Greg, like started to figure out, hey, this is actually bigger than that, right? Like you can put meme coins inside of an NFT, or you could put an NFT inside of an NFT to infinite.
It's the Russian doll of NFTs.
Exactly. And so that's kind of when things started to kick off. We created the community and the working group, and it's kind of expanded since then.
Yeah, I find it interesting early on in ERC 721, like in 2018, 2019, there wasn't widespread support for it yet. Like there were a few believers, but there were a lot of people like giving the eyes, like what exactly is this? What was it like getting like the ERC actually established? Is that like through an EIP and then it gets like passed and it becomes a standard? And then after that, like what's it like trying to gain widespread support for something? Because, you know, it's a lot of politics, trying to get a lot of support and all that. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's the whole EIP process. I mean, a lot of folks have kind of figured out that you could use it for marketing purposes. So that's why there's so many like 721 and then append a character after that. But, you know, for the sake of 6551, it was a truly a novel idea of the account and the NFT token bound accounts. But yeah, we had to kind of submit it and had the Ethereum cat herders kind of like, I think Sam there to take a review of it and give us feedback. It still hasn't been formalized, and there's a big reason for it is that the use cases, and it, frankly, is still early, and we just want to gather more feedback before it's fully finalized, because the challenge is we could finalize at any time, but if you finalize too early before you're able to kind of gather all the needs and requirements from the wider Ethereum community, you cannot reverse it. So you're going to have to launch another ERC and and so it becomes very confusing and a mess. So that's part of the reason why it's still unfinalized, but it's in the review phase. And I think that's important because, you know, we got to figure out what Jimmy and Greg and other people want. And then when it is finalized, it should be the canonical, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Jimmy and Greg. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, kid.
I was going to say, like, it's in the name, right? ERC stands for Ethereum, you know, request for comment, right? So it's like, it's literally built into the name that this is going to be a working product and built alongside with the community. But, you know, before we hop into Jimmy and Greg, I just wanted to make sure I'm understanding it correctly, is that the ERC 6551, to me, the best analogy I was told is like, it's a backpack, right? And now you could put this backpack into your account just normal, but then now you can put things inside the backpack so that when you do sell the backpack, everything inside goes along with it. Now you can always take things out as well too, if you so choose. But that's kind of the idea, is like having these backpacks kind of available, almost like siloing off your account instead of having to have, say, I'm not saying I'm an industrial airdrop farmer, but if I were, you know, I don't have to have a ton of these accounts.
Somebody call Layer Zero over here.
So, you know, just have this. So that's the way I think about, like, you know, ERC 6551. Is that an accurate depiction of it?
Yeah, I think if you were describing it to folks that are fairly new in this, you know, non-technical way, I think that's correct. And the things I've talked about before at like multiple events is, like, I think of an NFT in the next evolution, an NFT being similar to a website or an app. It has a front end and a back end, right? And the front end stack of an NFT is like the metadata, the traits, the renderer, the visual aspect, right? Is it a JPEG or a video, right? And there has been, for the last several years, a lot of innovation on the front end stack of an NFT. It could be on-chain renderer, it could be, there's a few other standards out there. But the back end of the NFT actually has not received any innovation for the last 7 years, since 721. Usually it's custom contracts. So if you look at Moonbird's Nesting, that's a custom contract. Doodle Space Doodle, custom contract. Bored Ape and all their sorts of games, custom contract. And that requires
Torch utility.
Exactly. Render, you need it to be audited, right? And it's expensive, to be frank. And so a lot of people either go down that path or they go off-chain, and then they go hire a bunch of back-end engineers and build AWS logic, and then like all that logic is off-chain. And so TBA actually sits on the back-end stack of an NFT. And it creates a equalizing like playing field of like asset ownership, but it's more than asset ownership. It's also the identity of the NFT, because you can actually log in as your, I don't know, Azuki on OpenSea. A lot of folks don't know that, but that's pretty cool, right? It's like a game where you select a character and you enter the world. As before TBAs, the only way you enter the world is with your MetaMask or like an EOA wallet, right? Those are the two things. One is asset ownership. Second is social identity. And the third one is programmability. So we kind of see a future where there'll be like an app store where you can go with your NFT and you can plug in logic, and that can be breeding, battling, wrapped, burning mechanics. It's going to make it so much easier for on-chain utility, because that's the biggest problem, right? If we look across the board with all the NFT projects, is that there is no on-chain utility.
Utility. I love you.
Those are the three things, yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually a perfect transition now to Jimmy and Greg, right? Now they're doing this, they're applying the utility. So, you know, Jimmy and Greg, please share, what are you guys building?
What are you building and how are you using ERC 6551?
Yeah, so I mean, high level, like what we're trying to do is create this like marketplace for these 6551s, right? And I think the main angle, right, like it's like, why wouldn't you just use OpenSea or Blur or something like that if they're NFTs? And the main reason is because I actually think the way that these assets are going to be priced is going to be like totally different, right? I think like in terms of how we think about 6551s, right, we're almost kind of taking the concept and like flipping it upside down, right, where it's less so like there's an NFT that like has utility, and it's more like here's this like generalizable, you know, account, right, almost like a multi-sig, except the ownership of it is dictated by this like non-fungible token, right? And I think like coming from you know, like the thinking about how like centralized exchanges or kind of like you know, how this is going to reach like the mass adoption, you know, we want to think of it as like almost like a sub account that's on chain, you know, Web3 native, right? And I think Kiet like mentioned, right, it's like if you're an airdrop farmer, right, like you might spin up like 100 of these and go and kind of do stuff and then trade them, and that's sort of like the kind of you know, behavior and sort of you know, market that you know, we're trying to build for. And so high level, yeah, what we're doing is we're making this platform to manage, to create, and kind of like run up these sub accounts on chain. Right now you have like points, you have, you know, airdrops and all sorts of like semi kind of non-transferable kind of rewards. And then they're all non-transferable at the address level, right? And so then if we make the addresses themselves tradable, I think that creates like a lot of interesting behaviors that, you know, we'll sort of see what happens.
What's the name of your platform one more time? I don't know if we got it.
Oh yeah, it's called Agent. It's agent.exchange. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like a AI agent, you know, on-chain agent, economic agent, and then it's a exchange for for agents. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is could so cerebral. Be... Oh, then, you know, you don't it's control it. Is it agents exactly? Oh,
join the
so
agency.
Cerebral.
Yeah, yeah.
Join the agency.
Wait, so you said something about AI. So I guess, like in theory, if you have all this programmability in it, you could have like an NFT be an AI agent, and you give it a prompt or command, and does all this stuff for you, right?
Part of the vision is you know, you have all these dApps, you have all these farms, all these pools, right? And I think what we really want to do and what we have the opportunity to do is, if you look at last cycle, right, there were a lot of companies that focused on like on-ramps, like, oh, we want to onboard the next million users into crypto, like being able to buy Bitcoin or ETH with just your credit card. I think with this cycle, what we want to do is onboard the next million users into actual DeFi. And so I think the general smell test is like, if I tell my mom to go use Pendle or like Athena, no, she probably is not going to be able to figure that out. But with our platform, it's like we want to be able to enable like one-click farming or like copy farming, where you can effectively just follow the exact same strategy of your favorite trader or your favorite KOL or your favorite personality, and effectively, you know, do the exact same strategy that they're doing on chain.
So how does that work with ERC-6551? How does the copy trading work? Can you walk me through like a user journey in this?
Yeah, definitely. So I think you would start on Agent, you know, you spin up a sub account, and what we're building now is then being able to effectively like map out on chain, like each of the different effectively steps and what you'd have to sign for, and then like abstracting all of that away so that you only have to like interact effectively like once. And it would all be done from within our platform.
So one approval and I can LP into Uniswap while also setting a limit order on CalSwap while also providing LP on GMX with one transaction. Is that what you're telling me? One approval?
That's what we're aiming for.
yeah. We haven't figured out the chain abstraction piece yet, but it's coming soon. That's a new thing that everyone's working on. Yeah.
Let us cook.
Okay. Got it.
You gotta be patient, kid.
Yeah, no, I think it's very interesting because like as like this agent marketplace, the way I see it is like, you know, in aside from just the DeFi use case, like, hey, I can put in my LP positions, like my UniV3 LP positions. That's like very unique, right? I got in at a great pricing at a very good band that other people may want to buy off of me, right? And I'm sick of it and I want to pull out, but I know I got in a really good juicy, you know, range. And, you know, but there's no price for that, right? You can't just take, hey, it's half ETH, half USDC, so I'm just going to do a quick calculation. Like, well, no. I am masterful at band selection, so you need to pay me a premium to capture this fee. In addition to that, though, let's say I am a very connoisseur of Bored Apes, and I assimilated a very beautiful collection of Bored Apes. I can sell that whole collection in one go as well on this platform, right?
Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head where it, to the point that you just made, like, it's your like LP position, it's your bands that you selected, it's your tokens, it's your points, it's your apes, and you should be able to do freely whatever you want with it. And whether that's like selling it to someone else and just selling the entire like address, like trustlessly on chain through us, like you should be able to do that and you should be rewarded a premium. And I think that's what's so exciting is that we're creating effectively liquidity in a brand new asset class where you'll be able to get price discovery on an entire sub account, whatever is in it. And so a lot of illiquid assets or less liquid assets will then be able to become traded. And I think that's really exciting. Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up to that? You know, with Arkham nonsense, all of them have like address tagging, you know, smartest money or, you know, dumb money. And with this new kind of almost intermittent layer, am I able to sell this reputation of like, hey, I am the smartest money?
That actually leads to my next question. Yeah.
Oh, that is so gang. So like, so if effectively also a degen score, right? I can, I can bundle up my degen score and now you can go and just buy this, right? Degen score qualifies for a ton of airdrops, a ton of benefits, Now you're basically just unbundling that and allowing people to purchase. Well, oh, that's so cool.
You guys can answer it. Then I have something else to pose.
I was just gonna say, I mean, it's like the equivalent of like you run up like a really hot alt on CT and then you sell it, right? And then it's the guy is totally different. Yes. And like everyone's got to rethink about things.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah, it's like that's I think exactly that behavior is definitely something that, you know, we sort of see a lot in Web2, and it kind of makes sense, like, you know, in Web3, like, you know, people would do this. I mean, people buy, like, you know, Binance VIP accounts, like, all the time. Stuff, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And also people buy a ton of gaming accounts all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I racked up like all the
player auctions, GOG, yeah.
Easily. Like, a ton of MapleStory accounts people sell, like, dude, easily. That's so cool.
If somebody buys an account, are they liable for other past transactions?
We're gonna have to rethink like all the.
This is something I don't think you guys can answer, but there's like a lot of ramifications, like things to think about, like with having these accounts. Like, is it like, oh, on the data transfer, is it all those transactions before were from the original holder, and the ones after or that? Like, what if like somebody's like interacting with Tornado Cash, or like, what if it's like, you know, there's so many like different things to think about with these, and like how it'll be interpreted by people later. But like those things are just, I'm not sure if you guys have thought about that or like what, if you guys have any thoughts. If not, like we'll just figure it out later. It might be too early.
Yeah, I think like one of the biggest things is like security, obviously, and like making sure that we're fully audited and being able to effectively like scrape the chain and see like to exactly like the edge case you brought up, like, oh, if they've interacted with Tornado Cash. But I think like another thing that we really want to focus on security with is the fact that like, again, looking back at last cycle and like what went wrong, I guess it's like a lot of bad apples and centralized actors, and we want to make Agent a place where like you shouldn't have to trust us, like where everything is verifiable and transparent. And so that's kind of like the ethos of, you know, the mission that we're on, I guess.
Yeah. So I also kind of thought of like this also adds to the privacy via obfuscation. Right? Because let's say I did LP in this position and I put it into this backpack, and then this backpack trades hand like 10 times. And then on the 11th time, the person actually pulls out the LP token and pulls out the funds, right? Like there's a lot of obfuscation that just had happened through there to know that, oh, that originally came from me. So I could see your platform as almost like, you know, for lack of a better word, it's like almost a coin mixer,
But it's not a platform. It's a neutral standard that can be used how people want it. That's the thing. Like, the, it's unopinionated.
Yeah. If you want to trade or buy or sell something, you should be able to.
I mean, I think you mentioned something, Greg, about like transparency and trustlessness. I feel like a huge part of that is also, do you believe that it's the platform's responsibility to put maybe like a tag on like certain accounts when you're like, hey, this wallet touched Tornado Cash, or like, hey, this wallet is on the OFAC sanction list?
Yeah,
like, have you guys kind of thought about that? Like, at least just like a label, right? Like, it's trans, you know, people say the blockchain is transparent, but like, have you tried to read Etherscan? Like, really read Etherscan? Like, so like, how?
I think we're lucky in Ethereum. I mean, the soul scan is even harder. It's like,
spot on. Yeah.
Exactly. Is there an equivalent on Solana for ERC 6551 or no?
I think the XNFT is, I don't know, Benny, do you think, I'm sure you've probably heard that all the time, or?
Yeah, I mean, XNFT is similar. I don't know if it's still being supported. It had the idea of like a whole decentralized app that is in the form of an NFT. It's not exactly a one-to-one of like an account abstraction and NFT together. I think the closest is probably Move Virtual Machine, like Flow and Aptos, Sui. They already have this. They have this concept of like, at least for Flow, because I came from Dapper, like Cadence, the programming language where the NFT is a resource programming language. So the NFT could own resources, and that was baked in at the language level and the Move VM. That would be the closest, but besides that, I mean, like everything else, there's been some sort of different interpretation, and that's kind of the good thing with Token Bound accounts or 6551 is that it creates a central address for an NFT that works across all EVM. So, and we're currently in version 3 of the implementation, but version 4 is going to go down a deeper path of potentially exploring, you know, everything else beyond EVM as well.
What's in version 4? Let's get into it.
Well, yeah, version 4 explores, I think what Jimmy and Greg have mentioned is chain abstraction, if that's the term that folks prefer. I think the idea is if the token bound account is the social identity and asset layer, it's not ideal that, oh, it's only your mainnet NFT that has this address that can use it. But what we're trying to think about is, what if your mainnet NFT owned bald coins on Base and owned like meme coins on Optimism, and you can actually transact across all of these chains easily? From a UX perspective, it's no different from signing a transaction on mainnet, where then you can execute on any L2 or L3 as long as it's EVM supported. That's kind of the V4 future, which will probably come out later part of this year that we're currently working on.
How does the messaging work there?
How does the what? Sorry, the messaging?
Messaging work. Yeah, if I like sign a transaction on ETH and it happens on Arbitrum. You guys use
We can pass the messages too. There's the messaging and also the transaction and all of that. Because currently, right now, V3, what we have right now, we partnered up with Layer Zero. We announced this at ETH Denver. So a lot of that passes through the bridge. But we actually have an interesting solution that will be less dependent on a singular bridge. So more information on that as it comes. But, I think it's something we've been working on that should unlock the NFTs no matter where they're at. In fact, we actually believe in the theory that NFTs should be on mainnet because that's like the highest liquidity and volume. But then if you want to play a game on L2 or you want to, you know, do all this crazy DeFi stuff on an L3, L2, you should be able to do it easily. That's kind of the state that we want to get to.
And so with the NFTs, like, does the NFT address, like, is it the same on the L2 and L3 or whatever EVM? as it is on mainnet?
Yep. Yeah. So if you have a Bored Ape, the TBA address could be 0x123 on mainnet, but on Optimism, Arbitrum, you know, all of that, Zora chain, base chain, still the same address. So you're kind of executing things and sending messages from that address. Yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Kit, what are you thinking about? Oh, wait, Benny, I cut you off.
Go ahead, Benny. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think the use cases are expanding rapidly. I think that obviously there's a
Let's hear all of them.
Yeah, ideas around agents and then DeFi, of course. We've actually been working on a consumer app. I just came back from Berlin. I was in Berlin last week, and we did a closed beta launch of a new project called Perma. The URL is per.ma, and you could think of it as like on-chain, I don't know, BeReal or Snapchat. And the idea is you buy digital film rolls that are NFTs, and then you snap photos and you mint the photos on-chain. But the photos are NFTs as well, and they actually are put into the token-bound account of the film roll. So it's kind of an analogy of the real world, but it's all on-chain, and it's using NFTs nested in TBAs, right? And that's an example of like taking TBAs from into a more creative use case. And then something that we've been working on is with ETH Global. They obviously have one of the largest networks of developers and hackers worldwide. And we've been teaming up with them to create something that we call like a profile NFT. So every hacker has a profile, and then whenever they go to these hackathons, they get badges and stickers and all that type of stuff. So the reputation starts to accrue in the TBA. And so I think those are like, you know, different use cases that have a really different approach. But at the center of it, I think the reason why we're on this call is NFTs, we still believe in them. Token bond accounts, I think
they will come back.
To kind of elevate the NFT. So, I'm really excited by that.
Have you thought about like privacy functionality? Will privacy functionality at all be added to the standard? Go ahead.
It depends on what you mean in sense. Like, I guess you can think of privacy as like, can people airdrop random things into a TBA? Maybe things you don't want. And I'll start with that. The first, I guess the answer to that is, unfortunately, like Ethereum was built to receive, you could receive anything at an address. So we can't block that. I mean, you could create a contract on chain that's like blacklisting other drops, but that's an impossible job. And then the second thing is like, we've looked into Aztec and ZK stuff of like masking transactions. Frankly, that is a very new area, right? I think that there's still a ton of research that needs to be done if people are using an NFT as a full identity on chain and then kind of like severing the connection to an EOA or like an exchange. So I think in the next year or so, there might be a lot more projects doing that.
Can there be a multi-sig on the backpack, like on a TBA?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, a TBA is not a multi-sig, it's a single. What you can do is you could put an NFT in a multi-sig, and then pretty much anyone who's on the multi-sig control the NFT, which control the TBA, right? With version 4 of the contracts, another thing that we've been thinking about is expanding token bound accounts beyond just NFTs, right? Maybe 1155s or even thinking about ERC-20s. It's kind of a weird idea where like an ERC-20 now has a token bound account. It is possible, and in some ways that actually creates a new form of a multi-sig. For example, if I buy a meme coin right now, right? If I have the meme coin, if there is a multi-sig, I have to be a signer on it, or if there's a DAO, I got to like vote based on my token holdings. But with TBAs and ERC-20s in this version 4, you can imagine just by owning the tokens, like UNI tokens, There is already a pre-existing TBA address for all ERC-20s for like the UNI token. And you can immediately start like based on how many tokens you own, vote on things. So it works the same, but dynamically, it's not a multi-sig. It's a token mount account
that's
shared across token ownership, right?
Okay. So now more permutations come into my mind. Can I put a backpack in a backpack?
Yeah, it's a Russian doll.
Yeah, right. I could put multiple backpacks in the same entity.
In a backpack.
And nesting it that way, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see.
That's right.
Wait, so what do you need to do to get this to be? You said you have to have like more comments and stuff. Is there like, are you looking for like one really killer use case to be like, hey, like, look how widely this is being used. Can we pass this right now? And what's like on the further roadmap for, the standard?
Well, yeah, I think first of all, Jimmy, Greg, if you guys need anything, happy to help. I mean, we're here to grow the community and help people build awesome things. I think NPCs or agents are a great way to pursue this. We've been hosting NPC Days events. So we've had one in Denver this year, like 450 people showed up. So
an NPC gathering, you say?
Yeah, it's called NPC Day. And for us, NPCs kind of have that game context, but we also kind of, for us, it stands for Networked Playable Character. And it's the idea of an NFT and on-chain agents kind of merging together. So I think that's obviously a big use case. I think where we're at right now in terms of the standard is we're missing maybe 1 to 3 really significant projects that can really like garner a lot of usage and people like using it. So we're getting close. I think with the ETH Global things and Perma, and then what Jimmy and Greg are working on the Agent Exchange and a bunch of folks as well. I give it about a year or less that this thing will start to move in. Because if you follow cycles, I'm sure you do, Dave and Kit, like right now is meme coin season, right? Or like it was
celeb meme coin season.
Yeah. And all that capital from the meme coins is going to funnel to something. And that's usually going to be new NFTs, right? And
yeah. This new wave of NFTs is going to be
something different, right?
This episode is going to air in like a week and a half or like 2 weeks and a half. And like, I wonder like what it's going to be, like what is going to be the meta right now? Like, cause you know, we all know how much can change in like a week and a half, 2 and a half weeks.
Yeah.
So like,
Go ahead. Sorry, Dave. I mean, just for the listeners who stuck us through this whole time, like how do I get long this? You know, I can't just go long ERC-6551 on like the forums and just comment on it, hoping for an airdrop, right? So, you know, what are some ways that people can get exposure to this new standard?
Yeah, there's several ways. I mean, number one, try the new projects that Jimmy and Greg and the community. We have a Telegram group. It's the Tokenbound Working Group. The second thing is tokenbound.org. You can think of tokenbound.org as the Etherscan for tokenbound accounts. Mm-hmm. So you can actually deploy the tokenbound account for your NFTs there. You can actually send things inside. And I think like overall, like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, like if you use your TBA and you deploy it, I think like that's a good way to start. And you know, who knows where that will go later down the road.
Using things just goes such a long way. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. Best way to get involved.
Jimmy, Greg, I want to hear what's on the agent roadmap.
Yeah. I mean, definitely soft shill right now. I mean, I think, you know, we sort of have like a, almost like a super early points program ourselves. Right now it's pretty simple, just like, you know, create some sub accounts, deposit some ETH, and really just like get familiar with the platform. I think the whole concept of like, you know, like these like on-chain sub accounts is like a pretty new thing, right? Like I think so many people we've talked about the project, they're like, wait, so where's the private key? Like, how's it secure? Like, how can I send this account to someone
there
else? Like,
no,
it doesn't make
key.
Any sense,
you
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so right now it's a lot of like user education. You know, we're scaling up like educational content pretty soon. And so definitely keep an eye out on that. And yeah, I mean, coming up, I think, you know, towards the end of the month, or like early next month, we'll go live with the marketplace, and hopefully by then the sort of immediate use case for a lot of these accounts.
It's gonna be fascinating to see how people price these TBAs, like, you know, based on reputation, based on everything that's in it, based on its past. Like, I mean, you can go so many different directions, and there's a lot of opportunity there, and there's the a lot, like, yeah, there's just, my mind's just racing. So
So, you know, I feel like you guys also need a Pandora moment, like what Pandora did for ERC-404, right? Like, I feel like there just needs this one championing token that just moons super hard, and everyone's like, what the hell is this 404 thing?
Wait, could an ERC-404 be a TBA?
I thought about that. I was like, can that be possible? Because the moment I send like a 404, my NFT breaks. But if I put it into a backpack, then I send the backpack, is it okay? Like, will it keep my NFT and not like burn it? Has anyone tried that yet?
I think it'd almost be like one of those things where it's like the more of like the token you buy, right? Because it's like you buy the token to get the NFT, and then it's like you're almost like unlocking the account. It's kind of like a hostile takeover kind of situation, right? Where it's like you have like some assets. And then like someone might like just buy, like, you know, your tokens away and, you know, do something like that. I don't know. I feel like that might be the case.
Yeah, cause I feel like after you buy it, you know the rules, like after you buy one 404, you get the NFT, but the moment you break that and it goes, even if you did 0.01, even if you transferred it to another thing, your NFT is burnt. But I'm like, but what if I put both the NFT and the thing into the backpack from the very beginning? Right. Mm. And then can I just send the backpack?
Oh, alone? Yeah.
And, right. And then like that just fully, it's like an encapsulated box. Right. It's like, no, it exists. Oh, this is.
It's possible. Yeah.
Oh, that dude, you should totally sell 404 NFTs on Agent as like the one first possible use case there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're getting near the end of this episode, but before we go, we always like to ask our guests who would they like to see on Flywheel, who would they recommend as a guest. So we can go around the circle. Benny, you first. Like, who do you want to see on Flywheel?
Yeah, that's a good question. Never been asked that.
It's first time for everything.
Yeah, I think I'd be really interested in hearing a lot more people who are like thinking about NFTs and building things on it, like aside from TVA related things, right? So I don't have a name that comes into mind right now, but I'm just a big fan of seeing what people are building on that front.
Who's the second smartest NFT person you know?
I'm going to be biased. I mean, my CTO, Jaden, he's always like observing the latest. So, yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy, who do you want to see on Flywheel?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have had him yet, but if not, you definitely should line him up. It's David from Metastreet. He's like, he's building NFT Fi lending. And the angle he's taking it is, I think he calls it like liquid credit token, right? Where it's like you kind of like you tokenize the debt and then you like tranche it up and stuff like that. And I mean, I think for a while, like a lot of the capital he's able to source with that platform is like really just holding up like a lot of the prices, right? On Blur, right? Like Bored Apes, I think, Punks for sure. And then also Pudgies. I think like there was like a thread a couple months ago where he was basically like saving the market for that. And so he's definitely someone that you guys should have on. Yeah. He's like one of the earliest investors for our project. And so definitely keep an eye out for some collabs. Like I think that'll be sort of the, at least one angle that we'll take for the portfolio margin piece.
Yeah, for sure. And Greg, who do you want to see on Flywheel?
Yeah, definitely. Another one of our classmates from school and early investors, I think Tong Pao from Hologram. He's building like Hollow World, it's like Metaverse. And we met up with him at Hong Kong like Web3 Festival back in April. And I think like his vision is really, really good. And I'm pretty excited to see what he does with it.
Awesome. Yeah, all great, Rex. Where can people find you guys on your socials, both yourselves? and your projects. Benny, go first.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Benny Yang. And then, yeah, Tokenbound, we have a working group. It's just Tokenbound on Telegram. So you can find us there. Yeah.
You got to go on Telegram, guys. All right, yeah. Jimmy, where can they find you?
Yeah. Twitter is JimmyXKF. And then our sort of project Twitter is Agent Labs, x.com/agentlabs.
Got it. And Greg, where can they find you?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter, block Greg. The L is a one. Yeah.
Still have the block.
Nice.
Yeah.
Always right, be blocking.
Always be blocking. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you guys on again once this is like passing through. We'll all celebrate. Hopefully in person, but we'll see. Awesome. Thanks, guys, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the postgame show. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here with Capital K. We're wrapping up an episode with token-bound accounts, ERC-6551. It's funny. I didn't realize they were called token-bound accounts until like later in the episode. I kept on saying, the standard. The standard. Yeah. So how does this work with the standard? But I really enjoyed this intellectual exercise of an episode because, yeah, we got into a lot of like hypotheticals and what could be. But I think me and you see the potential immediately with something like this. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I've been following this since September of last year, like when it kind of came about it. And I, like I said, at the off the record, I was actually have an ERC-6551 account. I have a TBA.
I have a TBA.
I'm number 50 in this special game called Spacebar, and they adopted the ERC-6551 concept, and you know, they airdrop points into that specific backpack instead of your account largely. And I think it is such an absolute no-brainer because it doesn't make sense like for me to have, you know, right now when I go to my MetaMask and I click create new wallet, guess what new wallet number it comes out to? Account number 69. I'm not even joking with you. If I click right now, if I go new wallet, account 60, I've created 69 accounts on my MetaMask. And that is just ludicrous, right? And I feel
such
like
a
this
pain 60, to keep track of.
It's such a pain to keep track of. And each of them have their own private keys. So I'm just like, oh my God, right? And but I like having good hygiene. I like having be able to touch something brand new. And if I can just spin up TBAs to touch shit, I think it is a,
yeah,
it's going to be a primitive, capital P primitive, that capital wallets P are just going to integrate it like Rabi and like, you know, a meta, like they're just going to integrate it instead of creating a new wallet. It would just create a new TBA for you. That's what I foresee it
as. It's just so much easier. It makes so much more sense. Benny's history is quite impressive. Like he was there
too.
At the beginning of NFTs with
his true NFT OG
721. Yeah. And it, you know, seen the whole process and he's been thinking about this since 2018, 2019. These TBAs, which is, you know, which is really impressive. I really think it's a matter of if, I mean, a matter of when, not if, the things take off. And I think it'll take like one or two projects. It could be Agent. It could be our friends at Agent who we just sat on.
Yeah, I think what Agent is building is like, it's such an interesting marketplace because it's a marketplace for accounts. It's not really an NFT marketplace. Like they... That shouldn't really be the tagline of their positioning. Like they're in a marketplace for accounts, and anything in that accounts is up to you. Like, you know,
something I didn't ask on the episode. I just thought of towards the end was, could you like use these accounts as collateral?
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah, exactly. That's what it says. Like portfolio wide account. Oh. It's like you have a bunch of positions that are in these wallets and then it understands like everything in this one wallet.
Yeah. It's
is a
fascinating
collateral.
How these things are like priced and like how these things are underwritten. Like how does this like get like liquidated?
You know? Yeah. Oh, that's a very good point. That's probably no. Each individual asset would be callable. So it's just, it liquidates like normally. It liquidates the assets that's within the backpack. It's not the whole backpack will be liquidated. I think you should see it that way. It's just like, it's just a wrapper around it, but everything inside is still connected to the liquidation engine by like Aave or Compound or wherever. They will still get liquidated like as normal.
I feel like this is like the next step in utility. Like this is like, I haven't really seen anything that has had utility and is exciting to me in a long time. And I feel like a lot of people feel the same way. Hence why meme coins are like the thing now. But like once this thing like takes off, then it, just like it's off to the races.
Yeah. For example, look at all the VE, CRVs, VEFXS. Like, you guys could have locked it in the TBA and then you could have sold that TBA, right? Unlocking a whole new paradigm of like truly pricing the lock, right? It gives you the cost of capital for FXS. Exactly. So like think about stuff like that, right? I think it will be very, very interesting to see how this kind of unfolds. Yeah. I'm also interested in like the ERC 404 concept side of things. Because I think what I really like is this is like you said, like a nested Russian doll, right? Except I have a Russian doll that would explode on me the moment I move it. But if I put it inside a protective wrapper, then I kind of avoid the explosion.
It's a landmine.
Exactly. So I get to move it around the landmine. And I think that is such an interesting way to trade these things. Because right now you really can't. You know, you really can't. Like, one thing moves, they both move. So I thought that was a very, very awesome podcast to learn about this new primitive from the creator himself, nonetheless.
I really like the format of this episode. I liked how we had on the author and then we had on an actual use case. It made it all the more real, you know. So we'll see if we do this in the future. And if we do, and you want to make sure you catch that, make sure you hit that bell button right now. Go ahead, subscribe. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know who you want to see on. Give us a like. If you're on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, give us a repost, like, reply, share it far and wide. Follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram, at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow yours truly on Twitter, at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at 0xCapital_K.
And we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not an investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.